What's a boy to do?
It's episode 4037. Freeform Friday, October the 31st, 2014. LeaningTowardWisdom.com.
With your hangdog eyes, you can bring me down. Now I'm wrapped around your whole hand. Stop looking so surprised. You make it easy.
One of my favorite bands of all time, Bare Naked Ladies, from a 2006 record, Bare Naked Ladies Are Me. The name of the song is Easy, and man, they are easy to listen to. Actually went to hear them the year this record came out, went to see them, I should say. In the tour for this record, Bare Naked Ladies Are Me. It's a great song. Hey, it's Freeform Friday for October 31st, 2014. Got a lot on the plate, so hey, we're going to dive right in just here in a second. Yeah, I want to make it easy. I want to make it easy for you to listen to. I want to make it easy for you to subscribe to the podcast. You can do that by going to leaningtowardwisdom.com. Over in the right-hand column, you will see ways to subscribe to today's show. I can even make it easy for you to get to the show notes for today's show because I've got a lot of links to share, cartoon or two, maybe. Just go to the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com, plug in the search this website, plug in the number 4037. Take you right there. All right, you ready to get going? Yeah, so am I. It's free form, but it doesn't mean I don't plan. It doesn't mean that I haven't put some thought into this, because I have, and I'm going to start off today. Malcolm Gladwell, he was asked a question recently. Well, it was an article that I saw October the 8th this year. Jenna Goodrow. There's a nice Cajun name. Jenna Goodrow. She wrote an article entitled Malcolm Gladwell Shares the Single Most Important Factor of a Person's Success. This appeared in Business Insider. And great question. If you could pinpoint a single factor that propels people to success, what would it be? What would it be? What do you think it would be? I mean, man, all kinds of things come to mind, don't they? Skills, talent, some other things that were mentioned in the article, deliberate practice, or even having the ideal conditions for success. Now, his most recent book is David and Goliath. You read this? Now, he's a brilliant guy. Paid a lot of money to think and to write. That's a great gig, you know? I would love that gig. Of course, I'd have to have a bigger brain and a lot more hair. I mean, the guy's got, he's got big hair. Big hair. Here's what Gladwell told Business Insider in a roundtable interview. Nothing happens without desire and passion. Otherwise, nothing else falls in place. It's very hard to find someone who's successful and dislikes what they do. Except if they're a lawyer, he added with a smile. When asked what had helped make him so successful, Gladwell said that he was no longer held back by fear. I try to be unafraid of making a fool of myself, he said. I don't mind changing my mind. The older I get, Gladwell continues, the more I understand that the only way to say valuable things is to lose your fear of being corrected. As a writer, the best mindset is to be unafraid. You know, that may be the best mindset for anything, right? I mean, for podcasting, for blogging, for whatever it is that you do, even whatever it is that you do professionally. I mean, I don't know. Now, everybody's afraid. I don't think it's so much a matter of not being afraid. I think it's a matter of, as we always say, managing that fear. But pretty interesting, isn't it? Nothing happens without desire and passion. Having the desire to win and the passion for what you're doing. That is Malcolm Gladwell's answer to the question, if you could pinpoint a single factor that propels people to success, what would it be? You agree with that? You might not. I mean, you don't have to agree with that. It's just one man's opinion. I think it's a pretty good opinion. Hey, Amazon just released their Fire TV Stick, he says, without much of a segue. Amazon's Fire Stick is a challenge to Google and a threat to Roku. Do you use Google's Chromecast? Do you watch TV through streaming services? And then I saw an article about the FCC. There's going to be some, I don't know. I'm so not political. I'm so apolitical. I just scanned it. I guess there's something big coming up here in the States with the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, about internet TV. There's long been here in the States, there's been a growing, I guess, a swell of people who would really, they would love to subscribe to things kind of in a la carte. You know, you go to these fancy restaurants and you can buy, you know, you just buy a single dish. You buy the entree and then you, whatever side you want, you get and you buy those and you pay for those. As opposed to, okay, we're going to give you a plate and it's going to have this, that, and the other on it. And well, I don't want this, that, or the other. I'd like something else. Can I substitute? You know, there are people that would like to buy, for instance, a particular series that maybe is aired on HBO or Showtime, one of the premium movie channels. They don't want everything else. They just want that show. We may be headed there. We may be headed there. Do you use streaming? Do you watch TV streaming? I'm rather amazed at the number of people that I encounter who don't have cable. They don't have satellite. Don't even have a regular antenna. You know, they use Amazon. They use Netflix. They use Google's Chromecast. This device, this Amazon device, evidently is intended to be somewhat of a competitor to Google's Chromecast. I think the Chromecast plugs into a USB. I'm not positive about that. This one plugs into the HDMI of your television set. Has a remote control. Looks pretty slick. $39. Google's Chromecast is $35. It allows you to not only use your television as a streaming device for some of these services like Hulu and Netflix and Amazon Prime, but I think also allows you to tether your mobile device. So if you're looking at something on your mobile device, to look at it on your bigger flat panel TV, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. I've been tempted to buy a Google Chromecast. I haven't. It's going to be interesting to see in the future how these things impact people's viewing habits. Speaking of viewing habits, you may have seen that the Foo Fighters, a week or so ago, they spent an entire week on the David Letterman show. Each night they would play with a different artist. Really, really interesting. And I admit, I'm a Foo Fighter fan. I'm a Dave Grohl fan. Did you see this documentary that was done? It was it Sun City or something to that effect? There was a, you know, famous recording studio, and the recording studio was long gone, and the board, the actual mixing board, this ancient, you know, board, he bought it. ended up putting it in his own studio. This was a famous board that a lot of famous records were made on. Yeah, you need to look that up and watch it. But he spent the week, he and his bandmates spent the entire week on the David Letterman show. And it was really interesting watching them play with various musical artists. Now, this was all a strategy in preparation to help them spread the word about their new record and a documentary called Sonic Highways. I have seen through the years because, well, let me back up. So they released this record and they released this documentary. They're on Letterman, I think, prior to the release. So they're kind of amping things up. Then this thing is released and they're going around to all the cities. I'm thinking there are 10 cities that were involved, one of them being New Orleans. And so Sunday night, just this last Sunday night, they were on 60 Minutes. CBS is 60 Minutes. And it showed them down in Nolens. And I got to thinking about this, and it reminds me of the various marketing strategies that I have seen through the years that center on a three-prong approach to getting the word out. And you see it a lot. You see the power of three a lot. It's not just about three offerings of good, better, best. You've heard that. Good, better, best. Why? Why do we do good, better, best? Because it works. It works. Your brain can wrap your head around that. Good. This one's good. Okay. That's great. This one's better. Okay. This one's the very best. I mean, rookie salespeople are taught, don't give them too many choices. Don't give them too many. You go in the supermarket today, and if you want to buy anything, mustard, just go to the supermarket and go to the mustard aisle and just take a look at all the mustard. I mean, it's unbelievable the kinds of mustard that you can buy. Way more than three. And there's something about the selection being so high that you can just be paralyzed to just, I can't even choose. In some cases, now I'm not saying it's true with mustard, but in some cases it can be easier for a customer to just say, I'm not going to make a decision. My decision is I'm not going to make a choice because you're giving me too many choices. It's why so many times if you are being approached in any kind of a sales situation, it's not likely that you're going to be given more than three choices. In many cases, salespeople will say, which do you want, this or that? Sometimes you don't even get offered the other, which would be option number three. But as marketers, as business people, we sort of get, okay, we're going to offer something to our people. We're going to offer something good, something better, and something best. And then there's that whole notion of the 80-20 rule. Well, man, I could hop down so many bunny trails here. It would blow your mind. Blows my mind. If the majority of people, if you offer good and the majority of people say, well, I want good, assuming that good is going to be a lower price, then you realize that there's a percentage of people, okay, 20% of the people that are going to want something better, something higher end. And so great, we give them that. And okay, now there are 20% of those people, they will pay for the very best. They'll pay for the high end, something or other. But back to this whole power of three, and I'll put links to some of these articles. There is a lot of compelling evidence of the power of three. And I don't remember where I read it. I'm sure I read it from someone who probably came out of the Hollywood scene. Seems to me that there was a book written a long time ago. I remember reading a book about it. And I did give it some thought before I hit record, but obviously I didn't go and Google it or look all through my bookshelves. There's power in getting the word out and this whole triad of promotion. So what I was kind of fascinated by, the Foo Fighters, a week on the Letterman show where they're on every night and they're playing with different artists. Well, that was very much in keeping with their record, Sonic Highways, where they went from city to city to city, playing with people, exposing themselves to music that, well, for instance, in New Orleans, they admitted they had no idea about jazz. They certainly didn't have any idea about, you know, Delta kind of jazz, the jazz that you get down in New Orleans. And so Sonic Highways is not only a record, but Sonic Highways is a documentary that Dave Grohl and the band wanted to produce because, well, as he said, the 60 Minutes to Anderson Cooper, because I can. Yeah, he's right there. And so there's this three-prong approach to getting the word out. There is a power of three. There's a power of promoting yourself. And so, boy, they did. They did a good job. I've not seen any of this. They're debuting this thing, this documentary, I guess, in some of these cities where they went. If memory serves right, I think there were 10 cities that were involved in this. A pretty interesting project, though. So, yeah, that's been on my radar. I'm not a reader of the Huffington Post. Do you read the Huffington Post? Yeah, me neither. Something tells me that if you listen to me, you probably aren't a big reader of the Huffington Post. But, you know, if you're in social media, you can't help but see it. But I did see an article, I don't know, it was early part of the week, 33 entrepreneurs, and they were 33 tech entrepreneurs who share their biggest lessons learned from failure. Pretty interesting. 33. Let's run down through these very quickly. I won't linger too much, but number one was welcome detours and failures with open arms. Yeah, I started to bail out on it, right? I mean, when that's your lead number one in the 33, your list of 33. And by the way, don't we love lists? People love lists. All you got to do is look at the blog posts that are written and look at the titles. I mean, we just love 5 steps to this or 10 steps to that, or we love lists, don't we? And we like to hear people tell us how they found success and how they overcame failure. Of course, you know, for me, the elephant in the room was we assume that people know how to properly dissect their experiences, though. And that's just not always true. Not everybody has the ability to properly distill what happened in retrospect. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but now think about this. There are an awful lot of people that something happened and you'd like to learn from that. Not everybody can properly frame that. I'm just speaking from my own experience. I've just seen it. But number one on this list, welcome detours and failures with open arms. Okay. Easier said than done, isn't it? Welcome detours and failures with open arms. Hey, come on in, failure. Let me wrap you up and hug you and hold you tight. Yeah, I wasn't impressed. Number two, a successful business requires 100% attention. Everything else is a distraction. Huh. Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I love you, but right now, the business demands my 100% attention. I was only pleased that number two didn't say 110% attention. Does this bug you like it bugs me? I actually heard a sportscaster the other day talk about some player who gave 400%. How do you do that? How do you give 4 times what's even humanly possible? Well, he did, whoever this player was that he was talking about. A successful business requires 100% attention. Everything else is a distraction. And, of course, there's little snippets, and that was from Jason Demers, who is the founder and CEO of Audience Bloom. That first one, by the way, was from Ms. Walter. I would pronounce her first name, but I can't. She is the CMO of House Happy. Okay. Number three, your company's focus comes with trial and error. Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. Thanks, Dan Greenberg, co-founder and CEO of ShareThrough. At last, we get to number three, and we have something that I think is realistic. Your company's focus comes with trial and error. He says, one of my biggest lessons in building a business came in the first year of ShareThrough. I learned that you can't build a business with 2 centers of gravity. Okay. Number four, mistakes will surface new opportunities. Hooray. Meredith Valiando Rojas, co-founder and CEO of Digitour Media. Okay, I agree. She too is at least within the realm of reasonable, mistakes will surface, new opportunities. The problem is, can you see that in real time? That's the difficulty. Number five, agree upon the direction of your company from the beginning with key stakeholders. Agree upon the direction of your company from the beginning with key stakeholders. Well, that sounds great, Evan White, president of Evan White PR, but what if you don't have any stakeholders? What if it's you? What if it's you and your wife? Yeah, I guess you need to agree on the direction, but to agree on the direction from the beginning presupposes that that's going to be the direction that you maintain. And that's just, well, as I have said so ably here in citing Randy Komisar in Getting to Plan B, a book that I still think everybody should read, doesn't always work out. Number six, use your negative experiences to regroup. Yeah. What's the alternative? Use your negative experiences. Biggest failure I ever had was when I invested in a $2,000 program that promised if I simply followed their suggestions, I would make a ton of money. So says Michael Stelzner, CEO and founder of Social Media Examiner. He's a bright guy. Big following. That's an interesting story, too. Interesting story. He launched it back in 2009. Spent all of the money on the web, if I got my story right, spent all of his money on the website design. Proof that that can work. Use your negative experiences to regroup. That's number six. Number seven, the stability of your career is under your control. I'm sorry, Miss Hines. And I like her. She's a freelance writer, ghostwriter, professional blogger for Christy Hines Media. The stability of your career is under your control. Tap the brakes on that one. Number seven. Number eight, tune out the noise and find your instinct. Now, I've already said here, I am an INFJ on the Myers-Briggs chart. So we INFJs, we really trust our instincts. Most notably because we feel like we've got pretty good ones. Tune out the noise and find your instinct. Now, tuning out the noise, well, that's a whole different matter. Finding your instinct, that's not so hard for me, but you know, that first part, that can be really difficult. And frankly, sometimes the noise can help find the instinct, I find. But maybe that's just me. Number nine, balance taking your time with acting fast. Well, thanks for that, Matt Galligan, CEO and founder of Circa. Take your time to think through something, and when you're ready, act fast. I have no gripes with that. None at all. Number 10, pay attention to your customers first. I'm a huge fan of customer experiences. I'm fanatical about customer experiences, but I have learned through decades of leading companies and leading people, primarily people who are responsible for the customer experience, that, yeah, you really can't pay attention to your customers first. You really do have to pay attention to the people who serve the customers first. John Beekman, graduate of Stanford Graduate School of Business, entrepreneur, founder, and CEO of Man Crates. Well, he's infinitely smarter than me, way more credentialed than me, but I love paying attention to customers. You can't pay close attention to them without paying closer attention to the people who serve them. Number 11, finding success is much easier as a team. Yeah, that may be Shane Snow's experience, the co-founder of Contently and author of the upcoming book, Smart Cuts, How Hackers, Innovators, and Icons Accelerate Success. Finding success is much easier as a team. You need people. We all need people. And she says the biggest, I say it's she, you know, Shane may not be a she. Shane, I can't tell by the photograph. Sorry. If Shane's a he, man, I would love to have that head of hair. The biggest lesson I've learned the hard way is entrepreneurship is much easier when you're not doing it alone. I wholeheartedly agree. Number 12, use data to help fail less often. Larry Kim, co-founder of WordStream. Use data to help fail less often. You know, are you a super analytical person? Are you like me? Do you just get tired sometimes of reading all of the time that people spend measuring and measuring and measuring, and then it just gives me tired head. I just get tired head thinking, okay, I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna spreadsheet out all of the podcasts. Let's say I'm just gonna be a data freak on the podcast, and I'm gonna look at the downloads, and I'm gonna look at the titles, and I'm gonna look at the content, and I'm gonna it just makes me weary. So no, I don't do it. Number 13, the quality of your team will make or break you. Yeah. Don't disagree. Number 14, avoid a field of dreams mentality. I assume that means build it and they will come. Melissa Singh, founder of Story Shelter, said that. Number 15, being adaptable is the real test. Here's what I've learned, says Carrie Kirpin, self-described non-trepreneur, author, keynote speaker, and social media expert, CEO and co-founder of social media agency Likeable Media. Here's what I've learned, she says. The best laid plans don't always work out as you'd expect. The real test is how adaptable you are when things don't go the way you'd planned. Hear, hear. Number 16, iterate for different learning styles across your company. That's from Jonathan Franchell, founder and principal of Iron Paper. I initially failed, he said, at creating an education program for training my employees. My goal was to create an ongoing training program at Iron Paper for team members to gain new skills that could be applied to client projects. I created a cross-training document outlining skills necessary for marketing, web development, and design. Iterate for different learning styles across your company. Number 16. Number 17, the worst decision is indecision. That's from Ryan Harwood, CEO of Pure Wow. The worst decision is indecision. I don't know if it's the worst decision, but it's not a good one. Number 18, look at failures as merely mistakes. That is from Jim Belosik, CEO of Short Stack. Look at failures as merely mistakes. Yeah, opportunities to learn something, maybe. But again, many of these are really difficult in real time, you know, and they all sound, don't they? They all just kind of sound like platitudes, don't they? They're not, but you know, that's kind of how wisdom goes. Number 19, try to be incredible at one thing. There's value in that one now. I don't care who you are. Brian Wallace. Hello. Hello, Brian. Meet Tongue. Brian Wallace is the president of Now Sourcing. Try to be incredible at one thing. This is ridiculously hard for a lot of us who want to be great at everything. And I might add, try to be incredible at one thing. Try to be known for one thing. Number 20, disagreement and conflict are healthy. Okay, I would modify that and say, and that's from Rand Fishkin. And talk about a brainiac now, co-founder of Moz and Inbound.org. Disagreement and conflict are healthy. I agree they can be, and I agree they should be, but they can also be really destructive. Number 21, another brainiac, Neil Patel, guy from Crazy Egg and Kissmetrics, ridiculously bright guy. Had a privilege to talk with him on Skype one time. Number 21, he says, think simple from the start. The biggest lesson I learned is that you need to make your solution simple. Yeah. Far be it from me to argue with Neil Patel. Number 22, tomorrow is always another day. Says Scott Gerber, serial entrepreneur, author of Never Get a Real Job, TV commentator and founder of Young Entrepreneur Council. Tomorrow is always another day. Indeed, it is. Number 23, success is not the natural state of things. The most important lesson I learned about failure is that without it, you do not truly understand success. Ted Rubin, a social marketing strategist, keynote speaker, brand evangelist, and acting CMO of Brand Innovators. Success is not the natural state of things. That's true. Entropy is. Number 24, push new ideas and projects forward. says Neil Schaefer, social business coach, consultant, trainer, speaker, and author of Maximize Your Social. Push new ideas and projects forward. Well, it beats pushing them backwards, I guess. Although some probably should be pushed backwards. Number 25, regard failure as a strength and not a weakness. Yeah, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, but he is the CEO of BuzzValve. Regard failure as a strength and not a weakness. Number 26, start now. Wade Foster, CEO and co-founder of Zapier. Do you use this service? Oh, you should. Man, he looks like he's 14. He may be, but he's brilliant. I mean, come on. If he co-founded Zapier, again, boy, don't I feel stupid. Start now. The biggest lesson learned is start now, he says. Almost every decision I've made that's led to something awesome would have been way more awesome had I simply decided to start sooner. Hear, hear. Good job, Wade. Number 27, don't fail alone. Find talented rock stars. Hey, rock star, come and fail with me. Single biggest lesson from a failure in my career, I didn't ask for help when I was stuck and just struggled along trying to figure things out. Sandy Krakowski, a Forbes top 20 social media influencer, as well as the president and founder of A Real Change International. She's one of these gals that likes to have purple or red hair. Just saying, observation. Number 28, letting go of the need to look perfect. Lewis House. You've seen Lewis if you're involved in social media at all. He has a podcast called The School of Greatness. School of Greatness. And he was a LinkedIn. He was the LinkedIn guy. That's how most of us got our first introduction to him. He was the guy teaching us all how to properly use LinkedIn. Letting go of the need to look perfect. Lewis, well, compared to me, he looks perfect. I let go of that a long time ago. So I got 28 down pat. Number 29, hey, you know the man. You know, like, and trust him. Pat Flynn, owner of Smart Passive Income, the blog and the podcast. Failure happens. It's okay. Some of these have a similar theme, don't they? Failure happens. It's okay. Number 30, nothing is as bad as it seems, says Gene Marks, who's the president of the Marks Group, a columnist and a speaker. I wouldn't go as far as say nothing is as bad as it seems. Some things are. I mean, I've seen things that are awful. They are definitely as bad as they seem. Most things aren't, though. He's probably right. Number 31, get told no on a daily basis. Well, I conquered that one a long time ago, too. Thanks, Shefkat Islam. I probably butchered his name. He looks like another brainiac, CEO of NewsCred. Get told no on a daily basis. Well, I could start a service providing that. If you want to be told no today and you're worried that the day might get past you without somebody saying no, call my number. I'll happily say no to you, give you your daily dose of no. There it is. That's a new podcast. I'll start that. Your Daily Dose of No with Randy Cantrell. Number 32, success isn't necessarily found by being an employee. No. Leo Wedrich, co-founder and COO of Buffer. It's another terrific app. Success isn't necessarily found by being an employee. The Buffer app employees will be happy to hear this, by the way. And he's right. It isn't necessarily found by being an employee, but I would counter that with it's not necessarily found by not being an employee either. Number 33, Joe Polizzi, founder of Content Marketing Institute. I probably butchered his last name. Is it Polizzi? Is it a long I or a short I? I don't know, but I follow him and I have followed him for a long, long time. He is founder of Content Marketing Institute and author of Epic Content Marketing. And he's somewhere that you wouldn't expect him to be. That's what comes to my mind. I need to look him up and see. In fact, here, let's just do this, shall we? Let's do this live as I record. Cleveland, Ohio. Well, there you have it. Joe and Dave Jackson, School of Podcasting, Cleveland, Ohio, guys. I wasn't downing Cleveland. I just meant, you don't think of a guy who's the founder of Content Marketing Institute being in Cleveland, necessarily. Here's his advice. Number 33, be patient and adjust on the fly. He says, first, patience, patience, patience. I was within a six-month period of giving up and going back to corporate life and then seeing the business take off. I think he's right. I think he's right. Second, the plan you start out with is never the plan that actually works. I believe if more entrepreneurs went in with that attitude, they would be more successful, says Joe. Startups tend to fall in love with their product when they should be more focused on building a loyal audience, listening and adjusting the offering on the fly until it takes. It's a terrific end to the list of 33. What would your list be? And do you agree with any or all of those? Hey, let me tell you somebody that I've liked this guy for a very long time, and he's a really, really smart guy. His name is Sean D'Souza. I have followed him for years, and I really enjoy his work, and you too should pay attention to him. And this week in my inbox, a poster, well, it was an email newsletter, obviously, that was directing me to a post, What You Can Learn from Snake Oil Gurus. This guy, he went to work for, you're just going to continue to make me look things up, aren't you? He went to work for some big ad. Leo Burnett went to work for the famed advertising agency, Leo Burnett, fresh out of college. Says he had a degree in accounting. Really smart guy. Psychotactics.com is his website. The tagline is why customers buy and why they don't. And he's good. He's really, really good. He's one of the few people that I envy his brain. But this article was entitled What You Can Learn from Snake Oil Gurus. And of course, the first line says you probably don't like snake oil gurus. But he goes on to talk about what we can learn from snake oil gurus. And frankly, the bottom line says it all. Pre-sell your philosophy first. Don't let the snake oil guru get there before you. He's right. I think he's right. And I think it's an article worth reading. Definitely worth reading. Hey, years ago, I had the opportunity to go and meet and hear GE honcho, head honcho, Jack Welch. And present that day was Herb Kelleher, head of Southwest Airlines. And I podcasted about it in an episode over at my other podcast, BulaNetwork.com. Or you can go to HireHumanPerformance.com, episode 199. I'm putting a link to that here in the show notes for today's episode. LeaningTowardWisdom.com. Just go and plug in the number 4037. Did I throw too many numbers at you with that? Sounds like I did, doesn't it? Well, this week I saw somebody post a JPEG, and I'm putting the JPEG at the bottom of the page for the post for the day's show notes, and it's a great quote from Herb Kelleher, who at the time that I saw him and met him was running Southwest Airlines here out of Dallas. We have a strategic plan. It's called doing things. And I'll tell you why that is so fitting, and I told the story in that podcast over at BulaNetwork.com. So I get invited by a friend who's a muckety-muck at General Electric, and they were a supplier where I was working at the time. And he knew that I loved Jack Welch and thought that Jack Welch was a brilliant guy. So he invites me, and it's a small gathering of Dallas business types. I don't know how many people were there. Not many. Pretty small room. It was at the Galleria. It was at the same place where Podcast Movement was this past whatever, August. And so I go up there and Jack Welch gets up in front of the crowd and he's got a few prepared comments to make and he opens it up for questions. And Herb Kelleher, who, and they knew each other, Herb's only question to him that day is, describe GE's strategic planning. And I already knew the answer because I'd read everything that Jack Welch had ever written and probably had read nearly everything the man had ever said to anybody in an interview. And Welch looked at Kelleher and he said, you know, we look at what the competition can do in the next 18 months to nail us to the wall. And then we look at ourselves and we look at the competition and we look at what can we do to nail them to the wall in the next 18 months. That's our strategic plan. And I just read to you Herb Kelleher's. We have a strategic plan. It's called doing things. Is that your strategic plan? I mean, it should be. It should be. Hey, I'm going to end on this note because I know it's a great book and I know the author is brilliant. Tribes by Seth Godin. But you know, I've never been fond of that metaphor. And I've never been fond, or whatever the term tribe would be if you applied it to your niche. And I'm now seeing more and more podcasters jump on board with a new term, nation. I have a strong opinion about it, and it's not a positive one, by the way, and you may not agree with me, but if you are a member of a nation, and some of you are, well, I would suppose all of you are. I'm a member of the United States, so I'm a member of, I guess, you know, the American nation. I've just never thought of you. Yeah, you there with the earbuds in your ear. I've never thought of you as being a member of my tribe. I've never thought of you as being part of my nation. And I'm just seeing more and more people do this. Well, I know why, and you do too. John Lee Dumas got it started. Fire Nation. I did put a tweet out this week because it just, I don't know. Here's the verb. The verb in this show is leaning. The verb is not ignite. The verb is, you know, I mean, it's leaning. And maybe that's why I'm not as powerful as I should be. Because maybe, you know, how active is leaning? But I put in the tweet that my podcast involves the word leaning because that's about as much as I can promise to deliver. I can't promise to ignite you. You know, you ready to ignite? You know, no, I'm not really. I mean, it just doesn't sound, I really don't want to set myself on fire. You know, I'm sorry. I'd rather lean. Maybe it's because I'm old. I don't know. Like I said, it seems like everybody's doing it, so you know it's the cool thing to do, and which, you know me, that means I'm not going to be doing it because, well, I'm not cool. Hey, my year-end goal is to triple the listeners of the podcast, so here's the call to action, kids. I need your help. I can't do this. I can't triple the listeners of this podcast without your help. And in order to do this, you know what this means. Stay with me now. There's no math involved, but this is very basic and foundational kind of stuff. You represent one. I want a triple. I need you to tell, well, technically you could tell two people, right? If you told two people, then we're triple. Okay, let's quadruple it, shall we? I want you to tell three people. Tell three friends about the podcast. Hey, I don't care. Send them an email with a link. Tweet it out. Share it on Facebook. Share it on Google+. Share it on Instagram. Wherever you share, share it. Help me get the word out. I want to see a lot of buzz. Man, I can hear the crickets chirping already because I appreciate your support. I genuinely do. And I want you to have a great weekend. I want you to enjoy that extra hour of sleep you're going to get, by the way, because here in North America, courtesy of Daylight Savings Time at 2 a.m. on Saturday, yes, get up. Get up at 1:59. Turn your clock back an hour. No, you know that... When this all started years ago, that's people actually asked that question. Back before, you're too young to remember a time when there was not daylight savings time, but I am. And when it came out and it was, everybody's like, 2 o'clock? Why, turn the clocks back at 2 o'clock? Why 2 o'clock? And so that beget all the questions, all the idiotic questions. Well, why can't I turn it back sooner? It's like, duh. Hey, moron, you can. If you go to bed at 9, okay, turn it back. It's 8 o'clock. You're still going to bed. Then you'll get up in the morning, and guess what? The time will be right. Hey, it's just how people are. All right, let's take this thing out with some music, shall we?
Can leave.
same record, same group, Bare Naked Ladies. The song is Wind It Up. They're great. I'm telling you, they're great. Bare Naked Ladies Are Me is the record. Again, it was a 2006 record. You've heard snippets of two tracks from that record. Plenty enough to persuade you that you need to go buy, download this record. I don't care where you buy it, iTunes. Go buy the CD. Yeah, that's what I did. These guys are great. I have been a huge, huge fan of these guys for a long, long time. Ed Robertson and Stephen Page, these were high school chums up in Canada. They're Toronto boys. They were together when this record came out. They are no longer together. Stephen Page sadly departed and doing his own thing. I got to admit, I liked them better together, and it's probably a sentimental thing, but they both are just got mad dog skills. They're both incredibly talented guys, and Stephen's got such a unique voice, and I miss him. Man, I miss him like crazy being together, but I have played you snippets of Stephen Page. I don't remember what podcast, but you should buy his record too. Really, really talented vocalist. And these guys are great musicians, by the way. And if you've gone to see much live music, and I have, this is a really tight band. I mean, this is one of those bands that they know exactly what they're doing. They work well together. Well, they've been together a long, long time. So that helps. And the fact that they're all very talented musicians in their own right, that helps as well. Okay, year-end goal. Remember, triple the listeners. That means you need to tell... Okay, I'm going to fudge it. You need to tell three people. That means four times, but tell two at the very least. And again, send it out in an email, broadcast it, shout it from the rooftops. I don't care. Get the word out. Tell your Facebook friends, your LinkedIn friends, Facebook, Google+, Instagram, Pinterest. What am I leaving out? There's all these new ones coming out. I'm just, you know... I need another social media platform, like I need more new friends on them. You hit your friend limit on Facebook? Yeah, I hit mine a long time ago. I pay attention to people, though, so, and I want to pay attention to you, so that's what we're all about here at Leaning Toward Wisdom. My name is Randy Cantrell. Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas is where I'm coming from. These are the tunes of the Bare Naked Ladies inside the Yellow Studio. Still here, aren't you? Yeah, you knew I would be too. Hey, that last the last podcast, I put a photograph of my wife and I when we first started dating in 1975, and I'd asked her, I said, you know, what music do you remember? Couples always talk about having, you know, we have our song. I said, I don't know that we have our song, do we? Do we have our song? And she said, oh, I think we do. I think we do. And she said, it would be this one, and I'm fixing to play it for you now, because this was indeed a song that was really in my 8-track for a long time, and it was in my 8-track a lot the summer that we started dating in 1975. The band is Pure Prairie League. The record is Bustin' Out, and you may recognize the song. It's called Amy.
Someone else and I'm alone. You see, I thought that I might keep you for my own.
Amy, what you wanna do? I think I could stay with you for a while, maybe longer if I do. Don't you think the time is right for us to find all the things we thought weren't proper could be right in time? And can you see which way we should turn, together or alone? I can never see what's right or what is wrong. Did it take too long to see? Amy, what you wanna do? I think I could stay with you for a while, maybe longer if I do.
True story, it would be a number of years later, my wife and I, married with children, we would go see this band, Pure Prairie League, play on the campus of OU at Lloyd Noble Center. And the lead singer, he would not be this lead singer, who I think was Craig Fuller. He would be one, well, he would be one Norman, Oklahoma's own, Vince Gill. Hair down his back. You didn't know Vince Gill was in Pure Prairie League, did you? Yes, he was. In fact, he was donning an OU football jersey that show. Man, talk about another guy who's really talented. But, you know, hey, we're a lot of talented people like myself come out of Oklahoma. So it's not just Blake Shelton. He gets all the press these days. Vince Gill, really talented guy. And then there's that guy that sold a few records, one Garth Brooks. Yeah, another Okie. But these guys were great, man. Summer of 75, wore this tape out. And I guess Ron's probably right. It probably is as close to our song as any song. Pure Prairie League, Bustin' Out. The song is Amy. You should buy it. What you wanna do?